C1G.
Number 20A.
We come now to the sixth stage in the second record of creation, which has the tone of truth, corresponding to the sixth day of creation, which is truth. And we know that in the sixth day of creation, we had the overall epitome and concept that sixth day of creation shows that truth is conscious of itself as its own perfect creation. Now, what would be the counterfeit that is uncovered from that standpoint? Actually, it would have to show that the counterfeit would be imperfect creation or the self-destruction of the mortal concept of man. So instead of having a line of perfectibility, we have here a line of self-destruction going right back to dust. How is that whole subject brought into view? Through the seven subtones, we know in the first record what was shown there, truth as mind. It started out, as you remember, with these individual ideas, let there be living creatures, and Mrs. Eddy would show them as ideas conceived in mind, capital M, so that consciousness starts out to look out from mind and would only perceive ideas. Now, that uncovers what? So we have in the second record here, in truth as mind, the following biblical statement. And the Lord God Jehovah called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Well, more or less saying, where is your consciousness? Truth as mind says, my consciousness is with ideas. Here the false record says, where is now your consciousness, mortal consciousness? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Can you see, instead of a consciousness of ideas, mind conceiving only of ideas, here we have the very opposite of ideas, nakedness, illusion, nothingness. I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? What kind of consciousness do you entertain that you see the nakedness of yourself? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Can you see what Adam did? He blamed God for his nakedness. He blamed God that God is an empty concept, that he was naked. He said, You gave me the woman. You are to be blamed, because without you, God, I wouldn't have a woman, and the woman wouldn't have given me to eat. So he traced everything back to God, a naked God, an empty concept of God. What the difference between what Mrs. Eddy said in the first record of creation, that all these ideas that spirit diversifies, classifies, and individualizes all ideas, and that they are conceived in mind. Here, the very opposite is brought out. So he was tracing really error back to God, instead of seeing that if we go out from the divine mind, we have a universe of ideas. Then we come to truth as spirit. You remember in the first record of creation, at that point it was shown that God made those beasts and everything that creeps up on the earth, and that Mrs. Eddy explains that over a whole page or more, showing that all the creations of mind have spiritual qualities. And she depicts there all the spiritual qualities of the lion and of the cattle and of the worm and of the serpent and so on, gives them spiritual qualities of which she said they were harmless and good and indestructible. So you had a terrific sense that truth takes only in the ideas of spirit or spiritual qualities that are good and harmless. This naturally uncovers the very opposite. Namely, the text reads here, "And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God," you see, "the serpent beguiled me." This is no more the serpent of the first record of creation, where Mrs. Eddy says, if you look at it rightly, the serpent is a wise idea. Here it is, suddenly, that animal quality that beguiled and tempted the woman. They are not so harmless as in the first record of creation. "And the Lord God Jehovah said unto the serpent, I will put enmity." Can you see, enmity is always a counterfeit of spirit, an opposition towards reality. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Can you see the whole enmity that is brought about? If you look at the text that Mrs. Eddy gives in the first record, it is all about that wonderful sense that the wolf and the lamb and the leopard and the calf and the young lion and the fatling will be together, and the little child will lead them. Can you see the very opposite of that enmity in the universe of spirit? "And the woman said, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow." Again, can you see the false qualities, the animal qualities, the painful qualities? "And I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conception." Spirit is always that which conceives the idea in its purity. "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." Can you hear the tone of spirit again, bringing forth the birth of spirit? Now the very opposite of it is that every birth should be painful. And that is very much the claim in the universe, that whenever one wants to bring forth a new idea, be it in a science, be it in a religion, be it in government, be it anywhere, be it in a business, that it is always a question of a painful birth that goes on, because there is always opposition, there is always something that speaks against it, and so gives a kind of a crisis. So, whereas truth as spirit would tell us that if we take in only ideas of mind, then there would be truth as spirit, a painless birth taking place, without a crisis, without chemicalization. Here we see the whole chemicalization, so that the birth is painful. Then we go to the next tone, as soul, truth as soul. What did we have in the first record of creation? You remember this was the pinnacle, so to say, namely, that God created man in his image and likeness. In his image and likeness, therefore, God interpreting himself, being conscious of himself as what he is. Can we have a bigger identity than this? And so we could see that man was God's image and likeness, or the identity of God. What does that uncover? It must somehow uncover the very opposite of it. Namely, to see that man is not of God, but of the very opposite, namely, what is the opposite of God? It's really the dust, because he was made out of the dust of the ground at the beginning. So the second record of creation gives the very opposite concept of man being in nature identical with God. The Bible says, "And unto Adam he said, Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground." Can you see, instead that we see that man returns to God, and we put him back as being identical in nature and quality with God, this is the very opposite, that we bring him back to dust, to nothingness. "So thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Isn't it a beautiful description of man as the counterfeit of the image and likeness of God, that is, the image and likeness of dust, and being brought down and reduced right down to dust, to the ground, instead of being the image and likeness of God. But naturally, Mrs. Eddy shows here that the moment we believe in corporeality, namely that Adam is made out of the dust of the ground and the breath is the breath of life in his nostril, that means corporeality, and that is the beginning of the annihilation of man and the fall of man. Then we go on to principle. What did we have in the first record of creation? Truth as principle. It was at that point where we saw generic man, where the Bible says, "And God made man in the image and likeness of God, and made the man male and female." And Mrs. Eddy explained that man is a generic term, both male and female, that is of what gender, that he is the ideal of God, and there depicted man as being the corresponding to truth, and woman corresponding to to life and love, therefore showing that the ideal that God has is actually life, truth, and love. And if we contemplate life, truth, and love, we have the ideal consciousness of God. What does that really uncover in the second record of creation? Do you remember that I said when we did the first record of creation at that point that I said this is the only time that Mrs. Eddy would, so to say, make an equation, so to say, man equated with truth, woman equated with life and love, because usually she just would say man is the idea of God or the idea of life, truth, and love, but here she said he corresponds to the synonymous term, giving therefore a much higher concept of man, namely as the ideal of God. And so here we feel, I first have to read now the biblical text so that you see what I mean. The second record at this point says, "And the Lord God Jehovah said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." See, and naturally this is the little difference that she brings out. It is a difference if I say I am God, or if I say I'm God's own ideal. The first record shows that man, as a generic term, man is God's ideal as life, truth, and love. But if we mistake that, and you know how many people then mistake that and say, I am God, I am life, truth, and love, and mean by the I am, the personal I am. So this was the temptation that was shown here, that Adam was tempted to consider him as God. So the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Can you see a terrific thing? The moment we consider ourselves to be God, we shut ourselves out from the tree of life. So then it goes on and says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way of the tree of life. We know the sword is a symbol of truth guarding that tree of life. So the belief here is that man can be God if he identifies himself with the qualities of God. Now comes the wrong deduction, that he is God himself, that he become like God. And that shuts us out from the tree of life. So that consciousness cannot bring forth and show forth true life experience. It is therefore at that point where we can see that a personal, mortal consciousness that believes that he is God instead of the ideal of God excludes himself from harmony, from the Garden of Eden. So he's driven out to do what? To till the ground. And we'll come back to that point of tilling the ground later on. So it is a belief here that man has no chance whatsoever, that the mortal man has no chance whatsoever to eat of the tree of life. The belief is that he will never find salvation, that he is excluded from salvation, and that for eternity he has just to till the ground in the sweat of his face. Then we go to the tone of life, truth is life. Again, we see here quite easily how the facts of being uncover its opposite. The facts of being are shown in the first record of creation, in the symbolism that God said to men, be fruitful and multiply. Can you see the tone of the abundance of life? Be fruitful and multiply in the earth, and have dominion over the fish and fowl and every living thing. So it gives that sense of the Son of Man. That's the Son of Man that has dominion over what she said, that he is Lord over heaven and earth. But that naturally uncovers the very opposite, that he has not dominion, but here it is said, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now comes the point. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. So we have here, instead of that dominion over the earth and multiplying, fill the earth and multiply it, instead of having a spiritual multiplication, it is shown that there is a mortal multiplication taking place, and we know that that multiplication of Cain and Abel didn't really do very much, that it was all wrong. Because though Cain and Abel were symbolizing the first and second degree of the translation of immortal mind, Cain the first, Abel the second, it hadn't anything to do with the third degree. Only later on, in order to save the whole situation, then the Adam story brings in Seth, but that is long after the end of that second record of creation. So until really only the multiplication goes on within the first degree and second degree, there is no salvation, there is no dominion, there is false multiplication. And we can see that, therefore, that the whole world is actually a Cain and an Abel. We have the Cain class of people that tries to run after the material, that have no other purpose than to accumulate the materiality, that are materially minded. There is another class of people in this world that expresses more the second state, the second degree, the moral degree, and feel that through good morality we can save the world, and that through good morality we can win heaven and earn heaven, and both are not sufficient. What it needs is a third degree, but that third degree was not born during that second record of creation. So we have here really a false sense of multiplication that does not work. You know that afterwards they had a quarrel. Well, that comes right afterwards. Truth as truth. What did we have in truth as truth in the first record? It was there where it was shown that man was given dominion. How was it given dominion? That the beasts were for his food, that the herbs and the fruit trees were for his food. And the great explanation that we got there was the marginal heading, assistance in brotherhood, showing that the greater idea protects the lower idea, that the lower idea serves the greater idea. We had all that the rich in spirit helps the poor, and in spirit and so on. It was showing that one brotherhood sense of the whole universe. Not so here. We get here the very opposite of true brotherhood, namely the Cain slaying Abel. And the Lord Jehovah said that the Lord Jehovah had respect unto Abel, the second degree, and to his offering, and unto Cain, the first degree, and to his offering. He had no respect. Oh, sorry, I read it wrongly with the wrong accentuation. I have to read it again. And the Lord God Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. So Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord Jehovah said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you see the very opposite of the brotherhood? Am I my brother's keeper? In the first record, it was that the rich in spirit would help the poor, and that the higher would protect the lower. So, and he, God, Jehovah, said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Can you see the very different opposite of the first record of creation? Instead of having one world, one unity in the world, one supporting each other and assisting each other, affirming the other's quality, welcoming the other, helping the other. Instead of all that, we have that what you call fratricidal experience where brother kills brother. And where everyone says, I don't care about the whole world, I only care about myself. I don't mind if the whole world goes to bits. The main thing is that I can survive. So it's a terrific big sense here of the assistance in brotherhood versus really that repudiation of brotherhood. The marginal heading actually here is in the text, brotherhood repudiated, the very opposite of assistance. Can you see how exactly the facts are uncovering the opposite suggestions and counterfeit beliefs, so that we really find here that the facts of being, the first record of creation, is really that truth which uncovers the error. Let truth uncover, she says, in his own way what it needs to be uncovered.